Several months ago, when I was working on sermon schedule, I had a moment of clarity about which would be the choice of text for this particular message for this day. Generally, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 through 21 is used as a benediction. And so in that sense, it's apropos for a farewell sermon, but in fact, this is not a farewell scripture. It is an introduction to what is always the next chapter. And I think there is application that we can take from this as a congregation. I think it also applies to me and to Sue. Shall we pray? And now, Lord God, give us ears to hear. Not only words, but to hear the truth that is in your words. And may these truths guide us in our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So one might well wonder about emotions at this time. Does this last time in the pulpit evoke emotion in me? Yes, of course it does, and maybe in some of you. But it would be misguided to go too far down that path. The reality is that this text from Ephesians takes us in a different direction, and it does so with just three words, a short phrase, but ever so powerful. And that phrase is, now to him. This isn't about me. It's not about you. Instead, the text says, now to him. And I would insist that, as always, our gathering in worship, which we are doing here, is about him, is about Jesus Christ. Now to him be glory. We're tempted otherwise, of course. The human spirit always inclines toward the temptation of pride, that place where we position ourselves at the center. Let's make everything about us. So it's all about our emotions, like now, or at other times, our agenda, or our politics, or our preferences. And life is arranged around us. That would be around the pedestal of pride. And then periodically, God is brought in from the sidelines as a supplement. That would be the human creature at its worst, at its most sinful. This verse, Ephesians 3:20, properly and emphatically goes in the opposite direction with those three words, which I want to mention again. Now to him. And if we aren't always clear about Jesus being front and center, then we risk losing our way. So then, once we are properly and clearly focused on Jesus, we then notice how Paul looks into a properly God-centered future. And he offered timeless words. They were true for the Ephesians, true for subsequent generations of Jesus followers. Words that are true for Tim and Sue, and they are true for you, for the Mennonite Church of Normal. They are these words. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. You thought about that phrase? More than we can imagine and more than we can ask? With this, we are put into our proper place. It takes us off the pedestal of pride in that we could almost say we're left without words. Are we not? Isn't that the literal meaning here? We are left speechless. And the reason I say without words is because Paul takes us beyond our word constructs about the future. Paul says it's more than we can imagine, and when I use this fancy phrase, word constructs about the future, let's put it in plain language, what do we do with words that we put down on paper? Well, we do strategic plans, or we do vision casting, or we do projections, and all of those things that human beings do where we tap into our imaginations, then we write down in words what we can think of, and that then becomes our future. And it is so seductive to limit ourselves to a future which is bounded by what we can think of, and then to live as if that's the last word. That's all there is. That's what you get. Those are the possibilities. For example, sometimes we say, here's what we project for income, and then that's the reality. And we plan accordingly. That's how much money there will be, and if we're lucky, maybe 10% more for 2020. But that's what will be the future. Here's what's on our calendar of future events, and we write those down, and now we've described what will happen. Really? That's all that can happen? What we write down? These are our short and long-range plans, and that's as far as we'll go. And such strategizing is not irrelevant. But I am suggesting we dare never close the door on what God is imagining for us, for me, for Sue, for you. What God is imagining for us, for which we don't yet have words. Who is able to do immeasurably more than what you can imagine? In other words, our imaginations are never the last word. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. And what does that take us to? Well, I'll tell you where it took me. It took me to that great definition of faith. Faith is the hope, not the knowledge, not the specifics. Faith is the hope of things not seen. Faith is that bridge that takes us to the moments beyond our mind's eye of what we can see. Faith is trusting and anticipating that God's imagination for us will become known and will become real in our lives, even if we don't have the words for it. Now, lest that sound too mysterious and leave us on the sidelines paralyzed, are we then to just say, well, who knows what will happen? It's all in God's hands, and so I'll just sit on a chair and wait. I wonder what God is going to do. No. God had a most fascinating intermediate plan, and it is a very beautiful thing. God provided for us a way of allowing us in our humanness, now when we're seeing through a glass darkly, to connect to this infinite mind of God. So here's this mind of God that's immeasurably more than we can imagine. Here are we, seeing as in a glass darkly. What is that bridge? So if any of my preaching or teaching has had any effect, I hope that you know what the answer. The incomprehensibly majestic and holy and awesome one became flesh and dwelt among us and became one of us. The Gospel of John, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. And that word that became flesh, namely Jesus Christ, a broken reed, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, did not blind us so that we might not see, but illuminated the reality of God. And so, says John the Evangelist, the light shone into our darkness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only. The true light that gives light to every man came into the world, and so even though we do not know fully what it's going to be like for me and Sue in September and October and in 2020 and beyond, nor do you as a congregation, nevertheless, there is guidance. There are clues. There are hints. There is a pathway that take us in the direction of God and God's holiness. In what Jesus taught, and how he lived, and what he promised about the truth that would come to us when two or three gather, and how we accept and receive the promised gift of the Spirit, and how we are assured that we are free from fear because we live in life, and we live in life eternal, salvation eternal. And so the promise is that God is imagining for us that which we cannot imagine. But the pathway to that promise, which leads us into apprehending and understanding God's infinity and holiness, is that Word become flesh, the light in the darkness, illuminating things for every man and woman on this earth. So, actually, I began with verses 20 and 21. Shannon began with verse 14 as intended, which was a prayer. And this is really a prayer for the future. It's a prayer for Tim and Sue, and it's a prayer for the Mennonite Church of Normal. It's a prayer which has embedded in it promises. And I want us to hear these. Paul writes, "I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power." And that's an implicit promise. Paul expects that prayer to be answered. You can anticipate that, and we can too. Power. Power through his Spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray, now think of Christ dwelling in us, that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And so even as each of us awaits specifics, we hold fast to these promises. Or promise power, or promise that we will know Christ in ourselves, or promise that we may be filled with love. And really, brothers and sisters, even though we are imperfect, if God is for us, who is against us? If we are so filled with love, what it does is it positions us then to be ready to live into the next manifestations of God's imagination, which will come in God's good timing. And so people ask us, so what are you going to be doing in retirement? Or they ask this congregation, what do you see as your future? Who's going to be your next pastor? You have all of those questions. To the extent that we believe and accept the promise that we will be filled with Christ's love, we are positioned to hear that which we do not yet see, but which will be made known to us. That is, the Lord will be our shepherd and guide us. And thus my words of introduction at the start of the sermon. This text, this prayer, is not so much a benediction as it is a launch. And that is why I chose it. Certainly today is benediction in that it is a last Sunday. But if, again, to use this language, I've started using much more, if our lives are a narrative and a congregation's life is a narrative, and if it's like a book, today isn't the end of the book. By any means. It is a turning of the page into the next chapter and the next chapters. And so we gather into ourselves, I believe, from a text like this. This is what I hear in it, what I hope I will remember for myself. An affirmation of God's glory and faithfulness and power, God's imagination, God's plans. It's as if God came to us in this text and said, here, this is for you. Take this with you, and now you are launched with all of that in you into the next steps, into September 1 and beyond. And I apply this to me and Sue as we move on. I apply this to the Mennonite Church of Normal as you move on. It's interesting, isn't it? I guess this is just what kind of a language do we use for worship? Actually, it is appropriate to use that as a benediction, as it often is, now to him who is able, and so forth and so on. And that ends the service, because really our worship services don't have an end to them. Worship services themselves are always a launch. They are a beginning. Now, go live the next chapters of your life or the next hours or days or weeks until we come again. It's always go into God's future. Benediction, launch. And in this spirit, and with this hope, now I end this last message with another benediction. Final words, as it were, from me in this pulpit, in this role. This benediction is from ancient scripture, and it comes from my heart. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance to you and give you peace. Amen.